You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
What nipples did you put on Stugatz at one point?
Meat nipples.
Meat nipples.
It was weird. Yeah. I'm still reeling from like pepperoni.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one who thought that was weird.
The reason I called them meat nipples is because I thought I heard a phrase like that on the Righteous Gemstones. And I thought, but I might have gotten it wrong. It might have been some other phrase like that.
I'm on it.
So what I thought I was.
Well, we all experienced it the same way. I mean,
that means you're grabbing them from up here.
Oh, I just thought it's a like, funny phrase that would make everybody do that.
Right. No, I get it.
I'm just simply doing, forgive me, because I've been saying.
The next bet, like those people that get like hung up in the air by their back meat.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
In like meat lockers?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Why did you just do that?
Why?
Why did you just do that to us?
I'm all in.
You said meat nipples.
That's I know, and you've been startled by it, but please help me because across a decade on ESPN, I was the only one saying nipples. Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show, Guillermo.
We're doing show now. Awesome.
Across ESPN in 10 years was Dan the only one saying nipples because it feels
real
dirty and people yeah, I know.
That's, really?
Thank you.
Put that on the resume.
Stugatz, okay, so that's the poll where I want the respect of the masses. I'm bragging. You think I'm bragging about that?
It sounded
just,
like you
just
are.
Just to be clear. Okay.
The only one in 10 years
who said nipples.
Yeah, so proud.
And meat nipples is something that I just said that you all reacted to, and I want to break through America's discomfort with the word nipples. I want to break through. I've been trying for 10 years unsuccessfully. Yeah. It's just a part of your body. It's just there. And so now I threw in a meat nipples, and now you're totally disoriented. Mm-hmm. You think I'm doing sensual talk.
Well, I think the nipple is fine. Like, we're okay saying it. It's the meat.
Yeah.
The meat nipple.
Free the nipple.
I kind of want Dan's top five words that make us uncomfortable.
Moist. No. Number five, race.
I was just going to say that. I was going to make that number one.
One through five.
I was going to go two black, one race. I was going to do a whole thing for you.
China.
I would like the words that make professional broadcaster witty uncomfortable.
Moist is a good one.
I don't think he would say nipples.
You know what, though? I feel like we need to normalize saying the scientific terms for organs on the air. Like
penis?
If someone, yes. You know what? If someone takes a foul ball to the penis, we should just say he took a foul ball to the penis.
Say it.
Because, say it. Yeah, you know what? Next time I will.
Next
time it
game,
happens
yeah.
that, you know, like there's usually, there's a wall for free kicks. Sometimes someone gets hit in the gonads when they're in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going
to
say.
Test got, this. I want yes. you to
say
test the boundary. This,
yeah.
I want naughty.
Say
ruin
penis
your career.
More.
Ruin your career.
Say penis more.
But it's not ruining my
say
career.
Penis do it. Do it. More. Do it.
If yeah. I said.
No one else is chanting.
If I said.
We don't want to chant. Say penis more.
If I said he got slammed in the dick, that'd be one thing.
Yeah,
that'd
be one
but
thing.
If I said
Uncle Dick,
he took it.
He's doing this thing as an old person. Chris, he's doing this thing as an old person. Kornheiser. No, this happened to Kornheiser. It's happened for 15 years to Kornheiser on television. You say a word, and he will just the immediate word association of he thought of his brother Dick.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's just going to say it, and it's only funny to him.
He got a hole in one recently, Dan.
He did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Why are you taking applause for your brother's skidded hole in one?
That's my deal, man. Yeah, that's my kid. Yeah.
Exactly. You're proud of your brother's
art. Right,
you're proud of your brother's art and the fact that there's cruises with his art. Same thing with the hole in one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That ship has been out there for 10 days on that ocean. My brother's ship reminding me every day of why do we not have anywhere to put our ships?
Why? Tallywhacker. You could say tallywhacker, would he?
No, just the scientific term. Got hit in the testicles.
What else are you longing to say besides penis on air?
It's not longing. It I'm just saying longing. That like every it's a, every announcer comes up with oh it took one downstairs.
Ah, that's
good. I like that though.
I mean, it's clever, but it's also like it leads to
confusion.
No, not confusion. It leads to us not being willing to say these words.
Yeah. Right.
They're very normal. So they're just anatomically correct.
Be willing to say penis.
Yeah.
Be willing to.
Well, I'm with Whittingham on this, and I love the rebellion, the art of Whittingham being the one to test this particular boundary, because I regard him as genderless. We've said this before. I think of him as having...
That's weird.
Whittingham's got doll parts. We've already covered all of this.
Do you think of
all of our parts?
His entire body is just whatever it is that a doll is when you would buy a doll. This is what I would imagine. And I love him testing this
century. What do you think my parts look like?
I don't have to think there, big boy.
I mean, this obviously is going to end with Angel having a picture of Witty's face on his shirt that says, say penis more.
But I'm with Witty on this. He's just saying...
Poses Ken doll body.
Scientifically. I am saying that Witty wants us to scientifically use the terms and get more comfortable and stop being so repressed. And I love that him, 28-year-old, is going to be the one viewed as naughty and instigate a national controversy if several guys get hit in the penis.
Yeah.
Where you're saying penis again and again, and people are going to get complaints to the FCC.
You got to switch it up, though. You got to throw in a scrotum every once in a while.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kicked in the scrotum.
Right.
Right in the scrot.
Why not? Again, anatomically correct.
Yeah.
If you looked up... if you looked up an anatomy textbook, you would see the word scrotum.
That's right.
You would see the word testicles.
That's right.
You would see the word penis.
I think you should test all of this. I'm hoping for an outbreak. I'm hoping for just a spree of injuries.
An outbreak of penis hits.
Yeah. Where a guy gets hit 7 times in the scrotum. Yep.
Correct. But the wordplay is so fun with the midsection. I like a good twig and berries.
Ooh, red and
like,
red
we're
mask,
giving up a lot of
I love
fun
a good
stuff.
Johnson.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, a shaft.
Love a good Johnson,
Webster's honored ball sack. By including it as a word.
Wow, congrats.
About 5 or 6 years
one
ago.
One word?
I believe they put a hyphen there. I'm not positive.
Well, wait a minute. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Does ball sack have a hyphen?
Could go either way.
Or is it one word? Or is it two words?
It's a talent to not go scientific. It's a talent to entertain those by avoiding saying those words. Foul tip, hey, how's your uncle? Like, that's funny.
I don't hear a lot of Johnson. Have you heard a lot of broadcasts?
Not hearing nearly enough.
I think that's
just in Austin Powers.
I think that's aggressive. Stugatz just shouted, echoing, I love a good Johnson. I don't think that that's something that any self-respecting announcer would say. It's as bad. I mean, it's worse than penis, I think. It's more dangerous to say he just got...
Johnson.
I mean, imagine Joe Buck. Yeah, he just got hit in the Johnson.
That's more dangerous than saying penis?
Penis is just scientifically correct.
So like Johnson
is slow, but I mean that's like slang for okay, keep going then though. Dong, hog.
Ooh, how do you feel about hog, Woody?
Oh, foul tip, hog. Right in the hog.
Yeah.
Woody, what are the words that make you uncomfortable? This has just gone into you wanting to say penis more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it, frankly, in terms of things that could actually happen in context of a sporting event. You're not really using much else.
There'd be no reason to use an anus, right?
No, well,
that'd actually, be a difficult foul tip.
You know what? Yeah. I don't say
tip
butt.
Anus.
I don't say butt. I usually say bum or backside.
Why?
Backside.
So I'm gonna start using butt now.
Yeah.
If, you, if someone gets hit in the butt, you know, you get a free kick and it comes off his butt, I'm gonna say hit him in the butt.
No, you won't. No,
keister in the keister.
I don't believe
how about the tushy?
Keister and
gluteus maximus.
Ah, the glutes.
That's oh, that free kick hit him right in the cock-a-doodle-doo.
Greg gets it. Like, thank gets you. It.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
That's right. You got to have fun with it if you're witty. You know, because like sports can be so serious. Don't be so serious. What's that famous movie line? Why so serious?
The Dark
That's
Knight?
That's the line.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's the line. Yeah.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Witty, is there any chance? Do you think like you crushed it right there? You just said thank you again. You think, I think we might have lost him with Uncle Dick.
That
you
got to think. Get. I did crescendo at Uncle Dick. It's been all downhill since then. But you could have fun with Cock-a-Doodle-Doo. You could make it sing song, Cock-a-Doodle-Doo. That kind of thing.
He's right.
You want to play it out? You want to? Can you give us some play-by-play right now of what you're imagining during a witty game? Can you be the announcer? We are thinking on Sunday of having a watch party during one of these NFL games that we've invited you to. You're going to cook. You complained about cooking for us. We wanted to try your pea soup. Wanted to get some beers in you.
Mm.
And we can't do play-by-play during the game, but I'd like to hear what it would sound like if, during a soccer match, Greg Cody wants Chris Whittingham to say what? Create the scenario that ends with your punchline.
He bent it like Beckham right into the cock-a-doodle-doo!
So it doesn't really work.
Right. Yeah. Because he tried to bend it like Beckham into the upper corner.
Right.
But he hit it too low into the wall. Right into the cock-a-doodle-doo.
You don't know a name of a of a single player that you could have mentioned there?
You know, I'm leaving it generic so that all the players out there listening can imagine it was them
right.
that I'm referring to.
Nice
that was said
you.
With yeah. far too much joy for it to be a free kick into the wall.
How would you do it?
Yeah, how would you do it?
Okay, now here we are. This is so unfair.
Come on, professional.
Oh, but you're giving this.
Allegedly.
Okay, Whittingham.
This guy.
Whittingham, allow me to set this up for a second because Whittingham listens to the game, I believe, differently than most of us. This is true of broadcasters who are really good at the craft.
Yeah, like an asshole.
At the skill.
Right. Always and
judging. Yeah, judging.
And so yesterday, Stugat started to try and start a podcast around it immediately, which is Witty talking about Kevin Harlan, like breaking down.
The art of broadcasting.
The sculpting that
he's
Kevin.
He's unbelievable at football on the radio.
He's the best. Yeah.
As good as it gets. At football on the radio, Kevin Harlan on Westwood One.
Glory.
He'll do one of the championship games this weekend. He'll do the Super Bowl. Yeah. I cannot recommend listening to a game. The sonic pleasure of listening to Kevin Harlan do a game on the radio.
Yeah, no, recommend people watching what Dan just said we're doing. Not
hopefully
Kevin
he's doing
Harlan.
The AFC championship game.
Yeah.
Just say cock-a-doodle-doo already, okay?
Yeah,
not
seriously.
The art of broadcasting, jeez.
I have filibustered enough. You are now, the pressure is on Whittingham to deliver someone else's joke because Cody just tried to do it and you saw it doesn't work. The joke doesn't work. So now the pressure, expectation of funny is all on Whittingham to create the goal call that ends, again, just so that he can sell and you can see what broadcasting talent sounds like so he can sell your, what you did so poorly when
sure.
I asked you to ad lib.
Well, I teed him up. Didn't want to overshadow him.
Do you want, Whittingham, do you want your own play or do you want Greg Cody's idea of what the play should be?
You set the bar so low that he has to exceed it. Very nice teammate. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that Greg called it as if it were an exciting moment in the game.
Yeah.
If
always
a free
is.
Kick goes into the wall, then we're on to the next thing. So you kind of have to say it matter-of-factly. So it'd be something like, Nicolas Lodeiro standing over a free kick. Seattle Sounders leading by a goal to nil. It's 25 yards away from goal, 4 men in the wall for Inter Miami, and he'll step up now to the free kick. He approaches it, smacks it with his left foot right into the cock-a-doodle-doo. It caroms out to Jordan Morris on the right-hand side, cross-swung into the penalty area. It's headed over the bar to be a goal kick to Inter Miami.
So knock that in there, man.
Matter of fact.
Matter of fact.
No, it needs more pomp and
circumstance. I like the singing, yeah.
Big problem with that. you didn't identify whose cockadoodle-doo it
was.
That's
exactly right. Sure. Yep.
It was a problem with both of your presentations, I would say.
Harlan would be like, into the cockadoodle-doo!
That's why he's the best.
Right between the eyes!
And he's working the NFC game, by the way.
That is exactly right.
Connects with a cockadoodle-doo!
Very necessary detail there by Christopher.
But if it's a free kick, it's going into the wall. Oh, it's not, and we're on to the next thing.
Free kick. Yeah. Nubler up the middle. It doesn't matter. Kevin Harlan's got to bring it.
Hell yeah.
Why is Tony throwing and echoing from the corner of the room, hell yeah.
Well, because he's right. I mean, Kevin Harlan, didn't he make like a cat running on the field seem interesting?
Harlan
like,
doesn't take a second off, man.
That's right. Incredible. Yeah.
Who's better at the delivery of play-by-play, Kevin Harlan on the radio or Gus Johnson on television?
Harlan. Harlan's the best going.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he doesn't have, like, the marquee spots. I understand it's Monday Night Football, but it's also radio.
Talking about? I'm pretty good!
It took him forever.
What was that?
That's my Gus Johnson.
Who is that?
It's terrible.
It sounded like Dick
I'm
Vitale.
Really good! I thought it was Dick Vitale also.
I thought it was Vitale.
Yeah. It took Harlan forever to surpass Marv Albert. It took Marv Albert retiring for Harlan to become the number one on TNT. And Harlan's been the best basketball guy for, like, a decade, at least non-Mike Breen division.
Right. I don't think that Mike Ryan and Whittingham know just how much production snobbery they listen to all this stuff with, because I'm telling you, they're not passively listening on the Manning cast or any of this other stuff. When you are I like Harlan too, but I don't have an eye or an ear for the sculpting crispness of how broadcasters do what Vin Scully managed to do into his 90s, or makes Boog Chambi one of the best. You know who's not very good at it, though? ESPN's not very good at having the ear that you need to know who are the real sculptor craftsmen on what it is that these guys do, like Boog Chambi.
If you've got the hammer, you've got to use it.
So good.
Hell yeah. Dan, can we hear your impersonation of that again?
Yeah.
I don't think that I could summon what it is that I did the one time that I tried to do my Kevin Harlan, because I am not good at this part.
Say cock-a-doodle-doo.
Just say cock-a-doodle-doo, or yes. Say it
as Harlan.
Oh, say it with a flourish.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Oh. Cockle doodle doo.
Cockle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amateur.
Fine.
Do we want to try it around the room? What is the fine for
cockle doodle doo?
You can try it out. Here's Kevin Harlan talking about that one time a cat ran onto the field during Monday Night Football, courtesy of Westwood One.
Third and four. Looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50.
Flawless
he runs
broadcasting.
The 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms. Bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue goat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
goat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Look at the police. They've surrounded this man like he's just robbed a bank.
I tell you what, he got a whole lap in before they got him. I mean, that was pretty good. I expected him to go down much sooner.
Yeah. I hope it was worth it, my friend, because you've got a night in the clink coming up.
Clink! Wow, the slammer!
He never broke character.
He's bare-chested. He's running at the 30. It's flawless.
He called it with the same emotion that you would call like a breakaway run.
All right, I got that one wrong. Here's him calling the cat, courtesy of Westwood One.
Oh, there's a cat, a black cat is taking the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line. It's a catch run at 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck
know.
For the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. He's
Black
at the
cat
8.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday
night
right.
football,
yeah, not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he's at the 5. He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. and the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott, but he didn't know where to go. Look, they're trying to corner him, and they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands, and the fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again, and it's running in the back of the end zone, and it runs up the tunnel.
So good.
But Whittingham and Mike Ryan both had the same reaction listening to that. I saw it on their faces when the color man, I don't know who it was, and I said color man, when he came in and Harlan wanted to tell him, hey, I'm doing a thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing play-by-play on both of these things at the same time. I'm showing off right now.
Right, I felt that.
What I am doing right now
stay out of my way.
Stay out of the way. I have to. I don't know who is his partner on these broadcasts.
I think in that clip, it was Kurt Warner. I'm not sure if he still does but that was Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner this week.
Kurt Warner this weekend as well.
Yeah. Ex-partner after that.
You guys are listening differently, though. I think the sports fan just wants someone they like, and if Romo tells them a few things that they like, they don't need... They get mad at Joe Buck, but the play-by-play man makes an awful lot of money, and I don't believe that anymore. You tell me if I'm wrong about this, Whittingham. What's been your experience? Is it a merit-based system on the sculptors of the craft, the play-by-play man, and what he has to do so that Al Michaels and Mike Tirico and the people who do it at the highest end of this are discernibly to your ear, to the broadcaster's professional sculptor artist ear, this guy, those guys are as good at what they do as anybody. Because that's not how I listen to broadcasts.
I think most media criticism, written or otherwise, of play-by-play people is misguided, I would say. Mm. It's based off of some things that they say. It's not about the quality of the work that they do. You would judge broadcasters on different terms than I think often you hear, oh, he was good in this moment, he's bad in this moment. Like, that's not, like, it's play in and play out how you're describing things, variety of language, identifying things quickly, making things clear to the audience. I during that clip, picked out four things, near side, specifically saying the 24-yard line, describing the players as having hands on hips, incorporating a sponsor into the middle of that. Like, that's what broadcasting is. It's language. It's specificity. And you listen to that, and you can picture what's happening.
And you want to say penis in the middle of all of that. You want
That's correct.
Because Mike, you and Whittingham, help me with this, because I don't know if I'm speaking for everybody here, but I don't feel like I have the skill set to tell you, hey, the best in the world at this craft are these four guys. I like Harlan and I enjoy listening to him, but I'm not listening that way where I'm not listening for every word. There wasn't a hiccup in anything he said there. There wasn't a pause, a stammer, a stumble, nothing. It was just clean, rat-a-tat-tat. He was machine gun firing as a broadcaster. I'm not going to stumble on anything here. You guys tell me what the top of the craft is right now. Do you know, Stugatz? Do you know any more? Because we used to care about this stuff. I don't feel like you and I listen to that anymore that way. Well, I never listen. I've always got it on mute.
I would say Ian Eagle. I would say Chris Collinsworth. I would throw Tony Romo into the mix.
No, but play by play. Just play by play guys.
I would say Ian Eagle and Kevin Harlan for me. In terms of the new ones, and Mike Breen. He's a guy that I love. I don't really know. Are there any great new ones?
I'd say Kevin Burkhardt on Fox is tremendous. Him and Greg Olson make a great team. And we also should distinguish. Television and radio skills are very different. Like, Kevin Harlan is good on television. He's best ever on radio.
So where do you want to say penis? On TV or radio?
Both.
But on radio, he's in charge of painting a picture, describing what's happening to an audience who can't see. Right.
For me, television is the analyst medium because people can see what's happening. You're providing some details. You're trying to be there to help the audience with the rules, with story, and we're just kind of taking you through each play. But it's the analyst who will tell you something that you haven't heard before or couldn't see with your own eyes. Radio is all about the play-by-play guy. It's why, this might sound selfish, but I like doing, the skill and craft of doing radio more requires more of the play-by-play guy, so I love doing radio.
Are the people at the top of the food chain on the biggest broadcasts, are they now considered the best in their field or just the most established and the longevity? Like, is Al Michaels still doing it as well as he ever did? Because that's one of the great jobs in all of broadcasting. He does one game a week. They give him a ton of money, but it's a lot of work. Like, he's got to know every player on the field. He cannot make mistakes because he didn't know who picked up that fumble, and that it is a lot of work, but it's the best job in broadcasting.
Don't do this to Witty, because you're setting him up to just tear people down, saying they're not good anymore because
I think Mike and Witty would have different answers than the audience. I don't know, but I'm not listening like that. Who do you think, Greg? When it, in most pleasurable broadcasts, when you sit down to listen, wherever it is that John Madden or Romo connect with people, does the play-by-play guy matter? For your experience, how much does Nance matter on the broadcast with Romo? How good is Nance? I have no idea. I can't
tell
you.
Feels big when Nance is there.
I don't know. I'm not listening with my ear and saying, holy shit, Jim Nance is so good at painting a picture for me. I'm not knocking Jim Nance.
But he doesn't have to. You're watching the game. I mean, that's the big difference.
Yeah, I miss Pat Summerall. I'll tell you that. I like the guys who, Witty, tell me if this isn't true. The guys who go, Shekin and Shevin from the 17. You know that style of enunciation?
This is the thing my dad's done my whole life. Anytime he hears a broadcaster, he'll walk by and like imitate it in that voice. He thinks every single play-by-play person is just like, it's Shekin and Shevin from the...
No. Shekin and Shevin.
Well, this is somebody...
Is this Jim Brockmire talking about Dick Lindbergh or somebody?
I don't know. I don't have anybody in particular in mind when I say
that. Well, but it's somebody with a lisp, right? Or a speech impediment.
It's the broadcasting voice. You don't go Shekin and Shevin. You go Shekin and Shevin.
I don't know who that broadcaster is,
right.
Except the broadcaster
in your youth.
In a cartoon.
It could have been. Maybe it was Summerall.
Maybe.
Summerall was often...
Was it Sean Connery?
No, Summerall was...
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Shekin and Shevin.
Right.
Wait. All right. Well, if we're going to do this...
Mike gets it.
Connery is a broadcaster.
I know that your Sean Connery is very limited. I'm not promising the people anything. Okay. I know it's very limited, and I don't want to push you into a position where...
I just need a little bit.
But before we go to Sean Connery doing some play-by-play.
I appreciate it, but I'll pass. Thank you.
Christopher's been in the lab working on Sean Connery, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'd love to hear that, Chris.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Have you not been in the lab? I mean...
I see both sides.
There you go.
Not bad. I'm out.
Yeah. Now say Shekin and Shevin.
Shekin and Shevin.
There you go.
It's fun to do it.
Greg is right.
He's right about what?
That Chris was in the lab.
Yeah. You get it. You guys gets it.
I am putting Whittingham in a terrible spot. I am. And I'm putting Mike, who did put it on the poll, Guillermo? Who did Dan put in a worse spot? Chris Whittingham or Mike Ryan? Because asking you to do play-by-play as Sean Connery is what the people want.
You put Cody in a bad spot.
I mean, seriously.
I think the people want play-by-play by Sean Connery.
I wish I did a Connery.
Not you, the people want.
Right.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place
for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
He, for some reason, would do a Gary Stevens impersonation of the offensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins and the University of Miami. Go ahead. Do you want to do that for the people? Your Gary Stevens impersonation? You want to give people some of that? 30 years in the making.
Stugatz.
What? Who needs me?
Oh, that?
What?
Do that my whole life.
You're going to go to Buffalo and win with Bernie Pomeli? Who needs me?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, we got a surprise for you coming in a few minutes here. I think you're really going to enjoy. I'm not going to tell you anything else, just that as happy as I've seen you in the last year, I believe that we are going to try to recreate something here with you that's going to move you a little bit shortly. But before we do that, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald has stunned me, because he says he's got two back in my days.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
But two back in my days.
Oof.
And Chris, you told me, I'm not even sure. It seems like he's just written one on the fly very quickly because he was moved, inspired. This thing has gotten stale for him. He doesn't want to do it every week, forced every week. But something has moved him to write this morning. And I don't think, Chris, it's even the subjects that you think it is. So what subjects did you guys talk about this weekend as you tried to cajole your father into doing his job around here?
If I'm being completely honest, we discussed these on Saturday night and I may have been into the Miller Lights. So I don't actually remember what the ideas were. I just remember that on Saturday night, we put two ideas into his notepad that were back in my day.
But
ideas.
This is neither of those ideas, and it relates here to something that we've got going on that has escalated to a place that's really uncomfortable for a number of different reasons. It's not just because Mike Ryan has like turned his negotiations into a giant public mess that actually involve this stupidity with his hair.
I didn't do that. You guys did.
Okay, but people are tired of it, and the company's tired of it. Everyone, we're tired of the fact that you have reneged on your bet in a way that has been public. I don't want to get into a dispute about the facts of this.
It's disappointing,
but
man.
But the audience is mad, and the company's mad, and everyone's mad. And you've been talking about a dossier that you've wanted to get to for 5 days. And you've been waving around.
I love a good dossier.
A dossier.
Yeah.
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 Then you're going to love this. Yeah, the audience. Everyone's mad that I'm not shaving my head because I won a bet. By a lot, mind you. I shouldn't be shaving my head. If someone shaves her head, it should be Stugatz, spirit of the deal. But how dare you and the audience come at me for trying to honor this bet when you guys have been egregious offenders of never paying up on your bets? A lot of people throwing stones from glass homes. So here,
why are you looking at me on this?
Oh, you're a big offender, and that's not just a fat joke. Okay, so here's what I propose.
Jeez.
Even though I was right and I won my bet by a lot.
I feel like it was a fat joke.
That's all it was.
I feel like it was.
Even though I won my bet by a lot, if I come to terms with Metalark Media, I am willing to shave my head. But I have a condition, and that is because I'm going to fight for the people. Yeah. I'm going to give the people what they truly want, which is not me shaving my head. It's everybody else paying their debts. So let's begin with Stugatz.
Okay.
Stugatz, I will shave my head if you pay the charitable donation you promised the Florida Panthers back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Five goals. He did a series of interviews
they
all over the
nine
place.
Goals,
was it nine goals? And
yeah.
Stugatz said, what is it, $500 a goal that he was going to give for?
Yeah. I wasn't counting on nine.
So it was like $4,500.
You still haven't paid. You took all the glory. You did interviews on it. You never paid up.
Right.
Also, you owe PKs. You've been talking about it for close to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't done that. And on the grid of death, you owe a deaf poetry jam.
Hold on, Mike, right. If I may, to the audience.
Who's
that
in charge of making me do these things, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
That's curious that you should say that, because I'm saying the same thing. Who's in charge of making me do
that? Well, this is going to be a mental block. What's going to happen here? Like, we're just developing like a human resources department. We've got a problem on our hands, because this is what's going to happen when you go into free agency and you do some of this stuff. You can't get anyone to get along, and then it becomes part of contract negotiations and everything else.
But by the way, I would like to thank the CEO of Sheets and Giggles, who made sure to send me this dossier.
Great guy.
He is leading the charge on this investigation.
Great guy.
And you cannot trust someone with your betting, your like how you sleep at night.
Man, do I trust
with him. This type of task, I don't know who you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust him with your betting. Yes. Trust us with your betting.
History has shown that the people that are in charge of like pillows and bedding are at the forefront of these things. Also, you need to dress up like a leopard.
Okay.
If I can just rewind for a second, for the people who don't know about the PKs, Stugatz claims he can make 8 of 10 kicks against a professional, MLS.
Did I say 8 out of 10?
Yeah, he has.
He said it was easy.
Right.
So you have 4 things that you have to do.
Okay.
Dan,
what was the fourth, though? What? Why?
Leprosy.
Okay, but what was the context?
It was like he has to dress up like a leopard. It's a leopard. See, he still hasn't done that, and that is several years old. Dan, you owe a sausage race dating back to the Kimbo Slice Matt Mitrione fight.
This is what I feel like is unfair.
Kimbo Slice died several years ago.
No, he's right. He's right about this.
I feel like
you'd forgotten about that one, and that I reminded you a week ago when we were talking about this and your damn dossier, and you were waving it around. And I think I reminded you. I do owe Matt Mitrione a sausage race in Milwaukee.
You also owe the audience a Prince Fielder photo shoot.
Did I lose?
You did lose that bet. What I didn't like about this, and I uncovered, and this was actually the birth of the Feinbaum bet, the first time that Stugatz paid up on the bet, and hopefully the first of two, because he lost that bet. I won by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you a way out entering a game 7. This was when the Cavs came back from down 3-1. It was Dan doing the naked photo shoot that Prince Fielder did versus the Feinbaum. It was do or die game 7. Stugatz had a winning hand eventually, but he gave you just a way out, which was so cowardly. Nobody paid off to the audience. It was only until the following year that we made the very same bet and Stugatz actually paid up. Stugatz, I begged, I pleaded with you to give me a buyout. You never listened. You did that once before. Why not this time? Very curious. Billy, you owe a sexy sax, man. Have for several years. I bought all those things with my own money. Never got it. You also need to do the sting in which you're shirtless, oiled up, slapping a bass. And you also have to dress up like Lou Bega in Mambo Number 5.
Billy owes all of that?
Yes. Chris Cody.
But Billy wasn't a part of this bet. Neither was Chris.
I wasn't part of this. Right. We're doing what's owed. This company owes me $1,600 in medical bills for the Grid of Death. So,
Chris Cody, you have to marathon all the Fast and Furious movies since you actually lost his
Someone actually did that for me. Another podcast did that for
Billy,
me.
Billy, you got charged $1,600. This is the first I'm hearing. Have you been carrying around these resentments all this time?
I have a dossier of my own.
He ended up in the hospital.
We all have a dossier.
But what's the $1,600? The onion, the biting of the onion caused
medical
you?
Medical bills,
Well, we should pay for that.
I was actually asked by an ESPN executive if I expensed that, and I'm like, that's not how things work around here.
But wait a minute, how did you not get paid for that? Like, you were injured on the job. So Metalark, which doesn't have, we're sort of developing the human resources department, should pay for that. That should be paid for, because Disney was supposed to pay for that. How could you get injured on the job? You guys laugh about this,
you guys thought that the pepper was bad. Oof.
Guys, I just walked into the kitchen, and I'm not kidding you, and these are things I never had to think about before. Greg Cody's talking to Bob the engineer, and all he's talking about is like, man, I would love to workplace liability sue this place.
Wow.
Like, he's in a kitchen that we just built out there because we didn't have a kitchen.
Greg gets it.
And he's looking for a slip and fall accident.
Is it because of the big hole in the kitchen?
We got to plug that hole.
We were just talking about about how long Bob thinks he's going to live for.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We
settled on 85. Yeah. Tony thinks he's going to get there.
Wait,
too.
You guys decided
there.
How long Bob's going to live?
No, we asked Bob. Okay. Yeah.
How old is he now?
65.
I bet you he's 37. Chris, since you lost the bet to watch all the Fast and Furious franchise movies in one sitting,
I did that for
you. There have been 3 other Fast and Furious movies. You also have to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a minor league ballpark, and you have to dump a bucket of chili over your head.
Mm. The chili one was a thing we disputed with Sarah Spain. And
I don't care about your nuance.
I definitely did.
Greg
the other
Cody.
Two,
you've done what?
Greg Cody.
I've sung Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a minor league ballpark.
There, my dad did that for
on
you.
Greg Cody Day in Fort Myers.
Greg Cody.
Yeah.
You owe the Kentucky Derby. where you have a floral wreath over your neck for an entire show. You owe the spaghetti gloves, yep. in which your hand should go into gloves that have spaghetti in
also
them.
Also threw a perfect strike
also,
that day.
Also, you need to have your hands in a finger trap
Did
for
you?
An entire show.
This is elder abuse.
Roy, I will give you credit. Roy, I will give you credit. You also owe the Montero. That's right. Where's your Lil Nas X photo shoot, my friend?
He's a big fan of mine, Lil Nas X. Yeah, he follows me on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
I'm lining him up for my podcast, The Greg Cody Show. It's unbelievable.
Guys, this
I call
is,
him X.
This is just from previous what? Years.
Hmm.
Deathcember was a big disappointment. Very few payoffs. You guys owe a lot. Credit to Roy Bellamy and Dan Le Batard. When it comes to the grid of death, you guys have paid up. You guys are stand-up gentlemen. If I made that bet with you, I would have honored it after we looked into it.
This is a hell of a dossier, though, he's put together.
It's
and
a
I,
good one.
And I do believe there should be some negotiation so that the audience, not Mike Ryan, gets their payoffs on all of this mm-hmm. stuff. Like, we need
including
to—
including Mike Ryan.
We need to— yeah.
Right.
I will—
mostly
I
his.
Have always put the audience before me. And I will absolutely do this, despite winning this bet by a lot. Instead of you, you should be the one doing it. Many are saying this. Yeah. But if we're going to go around and lift the audience up, and you have to do this for the audience.
No, that's fair.
You're selling them out, and how can you go back on your word? Then let's shine a
that's
light
fair.
On your own atrocities
I mean,
when it comes to the wagers made on this show. I stand for the people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back off a little bit because
the people that you hate making small talk with. I have my own dossier.
The people
I
you mean. Block.
Walker.
At Menos Mas, I showed up an hour early and I talked with everybody. Many people are saying yes.
Well, this is the thing that worries me, and Greg Cody has a little something for your ass. And we saw how that went last week when Dominique
Fox worthless.
We saw how that went when Greg Cody disemboweled him. He's yeah. got something for you on this front. I've got to
Is
admit,
it a floral wreath?
The dossier is impressive. Maybe we'll pay off some of these punishments, perhaps, during our Sunday watch party with the audience, because I do believe we need to correct that. But the thing that worries me now is that Mike has gotten the support to God, so I don't think you've noticed this. Now Hollywood's behind Mike on this stuff because his argument's pretty good. Have you seen what he's been doing on social media? Do you have any idea?
Blocked him.
Okay, Mike Ryan has got Hollywood behind him in a way that...
Many big celebrities are coming to my aid, totally motivated by just an injustice that's been happening here. Sir Elton John, John Depp, who has been a very good friend of mine for a very long time, offered his support.
Mm-hmm.
Tay Zonde of Chocolate Rain fame.
Oh!
Even the great Dean Blandino made an official ruling on this.
Mm.
Our audience has united. At first, I said it was very split.
Not
but
united,
now,
Mike.
No,
it's not
no
united,
way.
Mike.
100% my mentions have totally
it's
turned,
not
and
united.
That's not just because
that's
I blocked
nonsense.
Everybody.
That's
that was
nonsense. Echo chamber.
Most people want this overturned. Most people are even saying that Sugatz lost this bet because if you look at the spirit of the deal, I was actually right. This bet was stolen from me.
All right, Greg, do you have something here? I know you've got something.
Let me just say, Mike's playing dodgeball over here. He's diverting responsibility. He's not taking responsibility. He's turned into the biggest blocker since Dan Blocker played Hoss Cartwright. He's just somebody who's not taking responsibility. You know what I mean? And it the hashtag, I didn't make this up, it's trending. The hashtag shave your damn dome. It's trending on Twitter. People are marshaling themselves against you, and it's something you need to accept and deal with.
You're a liar. You're lying. Most people are tweeting hashtag stop the shave, not shave your damn dome.
No, shave your damn dome is not a real thing.
That's not a real thing.
No, it's
not a real thing.
It's all over the web.
The wide world web?
Whatever it's called, it's all over it. It's spiking. It's spiking is what it's happening.
This isn't...
Yeah, no, it's something. It's a thing.
True.
I don't even need a payoff before I were to presumably shave my head in an unjust way. But I need firm commitments.
The show owes.
Firm. I need promises
that
you're going to deliver for the audience. I need to see Dan naked with a baseball bat over his shoulders.
I just dressed like a billionaire astronaut. I am willing to do whatever the commissioner tells
Except
me I'm lined
up
to do.
Put your hands in spaghetti gloves, it would appear.
Hey, bring the spaghetti.
Can
I'll do
I,
it right
if
now.
If the outfits are here, I will wear Mike, them. Can that's, I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Everyone, that's why you haven't done it, Stugatz.
Yeah. Not because,
not because you're
shop for a leopard suit.
Not because I mean, you're a scheming weasel. Because we haven't gotten you the outfits. It's why I'll do it. Owe debts from 6 years ago.
To write poetry, you need an outfit.
Well, that's fair.
This is what I'm offering you, Mike Rind, so that you can make this all go away, because the audience is tired of it. I'm tired of it. Metal Lark is tired of it. If we're all going to pay punishments on Sunday, I'll give you nude Prince Fielder photo shoot in exchange for all of this going away. Like, in exchange, if we're negotiating here.
You want to buy
like
out everybody
go
else?
Away?
Well, I, no,
you're going to buy me
I,
out?
Why would I buy? I want the audience.
Oh, very nice of you.
Seemed like
I was
going to
support you on that.
So Dan does Prince Fielder, Mike shaves his head, and this is behind the rest of us.
Let's do it.
Deal.
It's got to be a show. I believe that the show, look how excited Roy is. I believe the show, we can bring the audience a payoff on Sunday. A payoff by giving them some spaghetti hands, whatever, some things, some not only some reasons to watch the game with us on Sunday, but to get rid of some of these debts, because I think Mike is right about this part of it, not the rest of the nonsense that he's doing, polluting our show with this shit every day for weeks and the company with your selfishness.
Are you saying that on Sunday at youtube.com/LeBatardAndFriends that there will be payoffs and we can actually get to the road of healing?
I want this gone, though, Mike. Like, let's finish whatever the negotiations need
to be. Yeah,
and
I want you guys to be men of integrity, but
okay,
I can't
but
get it all.
We're going to give him something.
And I would like that 20% pay reduction on an offer sheet to go away. Where did that come from?
I mean, we're negotiating, I thought.
Whoa.
No, yeah. I thought we had a deal, I thought.
I'm 50-50 on Sunday.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail palms lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms, quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.